Ever pinch pennies all year for that one family vacation, only to feel the budget blues afterwards? If so, I was just like you. After three vacationless years, I stumbled on Credit Card Rewards Travel and cracked the code to amazing vacations that I could actually afford.
Welcome to Wonderland on Points. In this podcast, you will discover how opening credit cards strategically can save you thousands on travel. We're not just dreamers anymore. We're two adventurous moms turning dreams into reality. Join us as we spill all the points and miles secrets.
And contrary to popular belief, you don't have to spend $1 million to earn 1 million points. Traveling on credit card points isn't reserved for those with overflowing bank accounts. It's for everyday people like you and me, learning to turn routine expenses into free travel.
Consider us your points travel guides. This is Wonderland on Points. Let the adventure begin. Hey friends, it's another episode of Wonderland on Points. Today we are chatting with another mama, Amina. She is a part of a family of five, and we're going to dig into what points and miles looks like for her family, how they maximize their everyday spending, and then how they book hotels and travel as a family of five. So we're going to get into that with her. But first, we want to tell you about a card that we have not talked about much that Joanna saw an offer that was very interesting to her. So Joanna, tell them about the Barclays Aviator Red Card.
Yeah. So guys, I know I've been talking about the impending trip to Japan for a while now, and this kind of was already on my radar as my next card to get. I was just waiting a couple months from my last card, which was at the beginning of March. This card comes with a really cool offer. It is 60,000 American Airlines points when you make your first purchase and pay your annual fee, which is, I believe, $90, maybe a little, maybe $100. I would, you know, look into that. But you can literally spend a dollar. You can go get a pack of gum. And considering I am finding economy flights for, I found them between 25 and 35,000 points, depending on the season, on American Airlines from various cities to Tokyo. I mean, that to me sounded like, okay, we've got one way covered. But I went into review. And then after I went into review, I went to the world of Facebook to talk to other people about their experiences with this card and found out that a lot of people with great credit scores, even people who haven't opened a card in a few months, have gotten denied for this card because Barclays apparently is very sensitive about inquiries. And because I've gotten a lot of cards in the last year and hard inquiries don't fall off for 2 years, and that includes your car loan, your care credit at the vet's office, all this kind of stuff, this is a bank that really, really cares about that. So you have to be aware of that. I wish that I had done research prior to. It's just not something I've ever heard before about this card. It's something I've heard about Chase and Capital One. So I just kind of went for it thinking I'd be fine. I'm in review. I don't know if I'm going to get the card. If not, I'm going to really have to reevaluate. I've heard that the Citi American Airlines cards are much easier to get, but also lower points, higher spend. So just something for people to keep their eyes on. If you don't have a lot of cards and you're targeting a goal that includes American Airlines, this could be a great option for you. But just know that even though you have a high credit score and you haven't gotten a new card in 60 plus days, that still does not mean that you will get approved for this card.
Yeah. So one thing to think about that could be a tip, if this is some strategy that you want to include this Barclays card for an upcoming trip, Barclays usually pulls the TransUnion credit report. So we've learned here on the podcast that you can freeze your credit reports from different bureaus. And so you may want to freeze your TransUnion report, and then Barclays will pull your Experian credit report. So there's some nuances there and some things that
Mary
you can
Ellen.
Do. if you don't want them to see all of your credit things, some things don't show up on some reports versus others. So you can freeze the TransUnion report, have them pull the Experian instead. There are some strategies and things that you can do to dig into that a little bit more to hopefully give yourself a better shot at approval.
I have to be honest, that never occurred to me. And there's a 40 point difference between my two scores, which I find wild. One of them is almost 800. One of them is 40 points lower. Why? I haven't quite managed to figure that out yet. But when I look and talk about my score, I obviously talk about the highest score. But it behooves you to maybe do research about which scores the banks pull, because that would have been smart. Now I have potentially a hard inquiry on my credit report and no card to show for it, which is not good. And also, it is a new fact to me as well that these hard inquiries stay for 2 years. We know that they don't affect your score a lot, but they can affect your approvals a lot. So please learn from me. I feel like I'm always saying a failure on this podcast. You're the calm, cool, collected one who makes the smart decisions. I'm the highly impulsive one who just lets myself run away with myself. Run away.
We all learn and grow from each other's mistakes and each other's trials and errors. So hopefully this will help other people be successful.
Yes, I hope so. So now we're just going to get straight into our interview with Amina. You guys are going to love her. What I love so much about this episode is we just really kind of flow through a bunch of topics when it comes to getting your family on trips and getting as much as you can covered so there's as little coming out of pocket as possible. I think you guys are going to love this one. We love her. We're so excited to see her in November. She's going to be speaking at Travel More Conference. So we hope that you guys are going to be there as well. Maybe I'll go ahead and put a link to that conference in the show notes and you can pick up a ticket and come join us. And also, do not forget, you guys, your ratings and reviews are everything to us. We are on the charts again this week. That feels like a big deal, and it would not be possible without your ratings and reviews. So if you are getting value from us, it's an easy, easy way that you can give back and say thank you. And it just fills us with joy. So scroll on down to the bottom and click the 5 stars and, you know, write us some words if you so choose. We absolutely love it. It means the world. And now let's let you listen to our interview with Amina.
Today, we're welcoming our friend Amina from Hassan's on Holiday. She is a points and miles coach, and she posts lots of family travel trips. She has a large family like mine, so it is so fun to watch another bigger family figure out how to navigate the world of traveling with bunches of kids and points and miles. So welcome so much, Amina. Tell us a little bit about yourself and the makeup of your family.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you, Joanna. Thank you, Marilyn, for having me. What an honor. So a little bit about us. We did not travel a lot, like in our 20s, even early 30s. It's interesting how we got in this space. My husband switched jobs like about, I want to say 6+ years ago now, and it would be remote. And this was like before the pandemic, so it would be remote. But again, it came with a catch up. He would have to travel. Mm-hmm. And every time he traveled, and at that time, it was a different company, so the way you book travel was also a little bit different. And he was able to just book on our card. We had like one card or two cards, and then these points would start kind of adding up. And we had been loyal to Southwest at that time, so he would get like 20, 30, 40,000 points after like, let's say, 3 or 4 days or like a week trip. I was like, this is great. And so I started kind of like going down the rabbit hole of like loyalty programs and award programs. And then here we are like 6, 7 years later. I think obviously in the pandemic, we had to like pause a little bit as well. We added a third one, but it's interesting. I tell people, I think the last 3 years, I want to say, is really when our travels took off, because you realize that like life really waits for no one. There is no better time. And I don't know about you guys, but like 60s, 70s. I'm like, I hope I can travel then, but like, I want to travel now when I have, because I'm already like, oh my God, the back and the knee, and, yeah. You know, like, all these things that I'm like, I can't hike. And then we'll be in our travels and we'll see like these older couples. And mind you, they're probably in their 60s and 70s, probably retired. And I'm like, yeah, you can pass us by. We're good. We're good here. You know, don't mind me. I just had a kid like 3 years ago. I'm still recovering, you know. But that's kind of like how we got in the game. My background is actually in the nonprofit social impact space. So it's so interesting how I even got here. This was like just supposed to be something interesting, something fun just to kind of do on the side. But here we are traveling points and miles. And yeah.
Here you are. That is awesome.
I love it. How did you transition this from something that you were just doing for your family to something where you were like, oh, I'm teaching other people how to do this now? Like, you've grown a really great platform. And was it kind of just by accident, or was it intentional at some point?
You know, I think we all know, like, the last couple of years have been tough on all of us for so many different reasons, whether it's travel, whether it's the economy, whether it's the workforce. It's just been so interesting. And I think, you know, for starters, like, the pandemic just kind of lit this fire in me that, like, yeah, we just added a third. And so do we like wait now again for her to get a little bit older, right? Or what do we do? Because the makeup of our family, our kids, our older ones are now 14, 11, and she's 3. So it's kind of like we're at that sweet spot with them, but then it's like tough with her. And then we're like, and we're only getting older too, right? So I think when we kind of started traveling more, and then I had just also recently graduated with my master's, it was actually my husband who was like, hey, you yap about this stuff all the time. Why don't you kind of maybe take a break? I know the economy and the workforce is kind of interesting. And, you know, they say like, some doors were not opening the way I wanted, but then some doors were. But sometimes you don't pay attention to what's kind of like right in front of you because you're so busy focusing on, well, I'm supposed to be doing this and I'm supposed to be doing it this way, but it's not working. And I just finished this amazing program, but I wanted this. And he was like, just kind of run with it. Give yourself a break. I do want to say that that also does come from a place of privilege that I do want to acknowledge that not everyone has that. And if you guys follow me, you know I try to be very, I guess those buzzwords of real and authentic and whatever that means anymore, right?
Sure.
In the world of social media. But that's kind of how I kind of started taking it more seriously. I think even a few years in, I'm still figuring out that balance because you have to realize that no one's going to motivate me except for me. And so,
yes, especially no boss.
Yeah, there's, yeah, especially these seasons of lately, my husband has been traveling a lot for work. And so, of course, when there's no boss, it's like life can get in the way, knowing that like there is a whole audience of people, especially a lot of people just have this, a lot of misconceptions about what this space looks like and what it means. And I think just having it myself and kind of how we got over that, I think that is really what motivates me to know that there's so much potential in this, and it's what and how I decide to do it that really will define what that future looks like.
What were some of the misconceptions that you felt like you had to overcome when starting out with Points and Miles? Was there any hangup for you? Like for me, I was terrified. I didn't even hardly know what a credit score was, but I knew I needed a good one. And so I was so terrified that this was just absolutely going to ruin our credit score and it was going to be some massive disaster. And it took me a while to learn that actually, my credit score will improve when I do this. I actually had no credit extended to me.
Yeah.
And so my credit score got better. What was it for you that you had to kind of get over to really go all in with credit card points and miles?
I feel like it wasn't so serious of a hangup. I feel like it was just, we literally didn't know that this world existed. I feel like that's really what it was. And then maybe there was that portion in the back of our head where it's kind of like, well, you have to spend more. But I can't really say that that was a true hangup. I think it was just not knowing that, wow, there's this whole world of, you know, how to leverage being financially disciplined. And you can leverage that for so many things, right? I guess if travel's not your thing, you can leverage that financial discipline for whatever else, you know, makes your day and floats your boat, right? Him traveling, these points adding up, it was such kind of like a blessing in disguise because when I started, obviously, we all went down that rabbit hole of blogs and whatnot, right? Whatever there was back then. And now there's so many resources, right? I think when I started getting into that, when I started getting more serious and realizing that like, we're always going to have these bills, but like, how can I just benefit from that? Because if I don't, especially now, like the price of everything is ridiculous. We are a family of 5. We also do have other obligations like to our parents who are older. There is no way to travel like this. I think it was just common sense, really. But if I had to say there was that hang up, there was just that one, you have to spend hundreds and thousands of dollars. Well, no, you don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No.
I was on a walk with my friend right before we were recording today. And she said her husband's biggest concern, she wanted to take advantage of the Chase Sapphire Preferred offer right now to get that card because their family doesn't have it. And her husband is like panicking because they're spending too much money. And I said, but getting a new card doesn't mean you spend any more money than you already do. And she was like, yes, I know that. I need to make my husband realize that.
It does feel good, right? When the money just leaves your checking account right away, you're like, okay, yes, it does feel good. But if you have the discipline to just wait those 30, 45, whatever the billing cycle is, and pay it right on time, then you can get whatever, 2, 3, 4 times back, depending upon the expense, right?
Absolutely.
It's that thing that I feel like I sometimes still cannot explain to family and friends. It's like that, I don't know, we've probably seen it where you can convince strangers on the internet about how good this life can be or how much potential you have for traveling, however much you want to do, right? If you only want to go 2-3 times a year, great, you can even cover that, right?
Absolutely.
And yes, I know, I will say, yes, there are studies that show that maybe you might spend more if you have a credit card. I'm not going to say that we are the best budgeters out there, but I also know one thing about us is that no matter how great an offer could be or no matter whatever there is out there, if we feel like, okay, it's getting a bit much for us, we always just kind of take a step back and say, okay, we'll pass on this offer because I think we get some other finances in check, which is obviously the first priority, because there will always be another offer. There will always
be absolutely.
But I think
absolutely
social media, of course, you're kind of like FOMO, the fear of missing out. Like,
yes,
getting to that level of maturity, I think it took some time.
It does take time, especially if you are a person who has maybe been a bit spendy and avoided credit cards in the past, which is kind of my story. What I had to do to make sure that I was being disciplined is that when I first started this, I would spend on my credit card and immediately move money from a virtual checking to a virtual savings. Like the instant that I made a transaction, so that I made sure when that bill was due, the identical amount was sitting somewhere untouched. Yeah. And it's okay if you have to put systems for yourself in place so that you can be doing this responsibly. But I love your page specifically because you do such a good job not glamorizing it and creating FOMO for people. You're very honest about, like, this is a season of earning instead of a season of spending. You say, you know, do as I say, not as I do. You're telling the story of the passport, which actually I think you should tell for everybody who doesn't know, because I was like, oh no.
For starters, I am the one that handles all the travel. And I always give that disclaimer. You know, so my friends are like, is it because he doesn't do anything? I'm like, no, that's not why. It's just because I get the points and miles. Game 6-7 years ago, we had 2 young kids and I was just like, great, you found a cheap hotel in California or we want to take them to Disneyland. Okay, well, that's going to be a couple $1,000. That's our trip for the summer. That's it. You book it, whatever. And it's not because, you know, he had to do it. It's just because I didn't care so much into it, right? And I try to be so, like, clear about these because they're just like, well, why is it him doing it this way? You know, and I think culturally too, a lot of people, especially like in the South Asian community, they're like, well, we have to ask our spouse or we have to ask our husband. I'm like, I don't understand. I just don't get it. And I think there's a lot of kind of cultural taboos too as well that maybe other cultures can't totally relate to, because I get a lot of, but it's you who does it, it's not him. Like, yeah, I do it, which is why, leading to the whole passport thing earlier this year, I was like, hey, we have a trip coming in November, our passports expire early next year, so we're good this year, we're not traveling internationally in the summer. We didn't even think about it. This past weekend I was like, hey, we've been needing to book these flights, we're going to 2 countries in November, and I have the main leg booked to country one, and I was like, from country one to country two, it was going to be cash. We had already budgeted for that cash. And I was like, we need to do this. We need to do this. With those kind of non-refundable expenses, I just want to make sure that both of us are there. When it's points, I can book, cancel, and literally tell him the week before. And then he's like, okay, let me figure it out with work or whatnot, right? How we're going to do this. But with this one, I was like, I'm not going to book it because it's not refundable, right? So you need to be there, make sure you like the flight timing, make sure we agree, make sure we're both on board as far as, you know, kids and everything. And I go to book it. And I had mentioned in January, I was like, hey, can you take the responsibility of renewing our passports from A to Z? I was like, I'm doing everything else. Can you do this? And I'm not going to totally put it on him because we didn't realize until I went to go actually book it in the portal that it wouldn't allow you. It's less than 6 months out. So for those who may not know, with international travel, and it depends on the country, you might want to check, but you need to have a passport that is more than that. Like you have more than 6 months left on your passport. So I'm like, great. Do we expedite the passport now? Do we take a chance that these one-way flights are still going to be around $100 times five of us? You know, I didn't know what to do, but we were just like, you know what? We'll just swallow the fees. And we just did both of ours. We took passport pictures on Friday. We mailed it out Saturday. I was able to book me and the kids. So I'm hoping to just get him on the same flight because okay. I also have to book the return back. And so I know when I try to go book my return, I'm probably going to get that same message. And everyone's like, well, why the Capital One Travel Portal? I'm like, well, because it's a cash expense and I want to make the most of it and I want five times back.
Yeah. Because
those additional miles will help me cover stuff like, I don't know, a car rental for the summer or, you know, those little things like train, transportation, stuff like that, right?
Absolutely. So. Yeah, I know everybody demonizes the portal a little bit, but it can be so good for stuff like that. I mean, I just bought we're going to Universal Studios in a few weeks and there's another little girl, my daughter's friend, coming with us. And her mom was like, I'll just give you the money and you can buy the ticket for her if that works for you. Because she wanted to make sure that it was all, in line with our reservations. And it was just a lot. And I was like, oh, yeah, of course, because I'm going to go book these in the portal with the Chase Sapphire Preferred. And
same. Like, and that's one amazing. Of my exactly. Those are my top two. And that's what I was saying yesterday too. But in this case, I just wanted Capital One because I know like this summer we're going to try to rent a car for like little domestic trips, right?
Yeah.
I say little, but that adds up. Like
it does.
It's not free.
So. Yes, which is important to tell people in this space because we like to say that all the time. Like it's a lot of times it's nearly free or a section of your trip will be free, but there's always expenses in traveling.
That's what happens. And so I was like, you know what? If I can just get my family of five from the U.S. to a country, I feel like that's a win in my book.
Absolutely.
And then if I can budget for like, let's say one-way flights, you know, again, that's different. This is just how we kind of travel. I was like, great. So I thought I was so on top of my game. I'm like here booking for November and beyond. And then it's like, wait. And I look at him, he looks at me and he's like, well, did you technically know that you weren't going to be allowed to book the tickets? I was like, technically, no, but technically this was your responsibility. So after wasting a lot of time going back and forth on whose fault it was, we finally mailed out the passports last weekend. So
okay,
I'm so glad that we're having this conversation because I have a trip booked out of the country in January and my toddler does not have a passport yet.
Oh my.
And I was able to book the trip without inputting our passport information yet. But this is good because I have to have this on my to-do list like now.
Like our kids were fine. It was just ours because, you know, I guess the dates are obviously different from when we did ours. But yeah.
I don't think people realize that the rules about international legs, like within international countries and like the 180 day rule. Is that it? 180?
Right, right. That's the message I got. 180 days. Right. And I think that's just like a standard. I don't know if it's different per country, but I think that's generally just a standard.
Yeah. Right? And I don't think that's on people's radar.
Right, because I think people are like, oh, this weekend, let's, you know, or this summer, let's go to Europe. Well, do you have a passport? You know, I think generally people are not planning like us. I think us just being in the space because we ideally want the best award availability. But yeah, this one little thing kind of fell off our radar because I was just like, I'll do all the points and miles stuff. Can you handle this stuff? But because we hadn't actually tried to book the ticket, we didn't know that that would actually hold us up. It was just like, yeah, we'll get to it. We'll get to it because it's not expiring this year.
Yeah.
Right? And we don't have any international. I think our first international trip is in October and we're going to Merida, Mexico. So we're like, oh, we're good. We're fine.
Oh,
right.
We just had Katie's travel tricks on.
Yes. Yes.
She talked about it. Are you staying at that amazing Hyatt?
And when I shared our booking, I have like the trip highlights on my feed. I said that she was the one who motivated me for that because you had me at like 5,000 points for a room.
Yeah. And like 8,000 for a suite with the club access.
Yeah. Like we're doing two rooms because we're five. But mm-hmm. yeah, you had me at 5,000 points.
Amina, you mentioned getting two hotel rooms at this particular hotel, which is pretty easy because it's a very affordable hotel, right. low points for per room. Are there any hotels that come to mind where, and maybe you just don't want to because your older two are getting kind of old to fit in one room, but
yeah.
do you have any hotels in mind that a family of five, because this question comes up over and over again, are there any hotels that can fit a family of five in one room? Because it does just exponentially feels like it increases the cost of a trip to have to book two rooms.
I see. I think oh, so we did do this in Seattle for a specific property, but I have to say, I think it truly depends on your kids' ages. If you have three little ones, maybe you can get away with like a sofa bed and put two little ones there. But mind you, the differences in my kids' ages, it doesn't work because, you know, part of the trip is the journey and is the experience. And like, if we can't sleep properly, if we're uncomfortable, like it's not going to be any fun. So mm-hmm. that being said, I think it truly depends on the property. I just like to reach out to them and say, hi, now mind you, my little one is three. So for the first 2 years-ish, I want to say even now, it's worked great because I'm like, she's not a head on bed. I have the playpen. Yeah, I can ask the hotel. We just, with COVID and everything, we just kind of like prefer taking our own and she's kind of used to it. So we kind of like to maintain that routine because it helps us at the end of the day, if we can just sleep at night, that's all mm-hmm. we want, right? But I like to just tell the hotel, hey, I'm getting this room. It's a room with two queen beds. These are the ages of our kids. She's not going to be a head on bed. She's going to be in the playpen. Will you allow five of us in a room? And we're doing this for our upcoming stay in Rhode Island, just actually in a few weeks in June. It's at the Pell Hotel. So I'm really happy that they are allowing that. But I think it truly depends. You have to just reach out to the hotel and ask. I think if I had like three big ones, probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
But like, because I have two older ones, like me and my daughter can split a bed. My husband and my son can, you know, get a queen. And then the little one is in the playpen. So I think it just works because of our family dynamic. I think even with the Pell Hotel in Rhode Island, I'm probably kind of going to like, I think she's kind of grown out of her playpen, but I'm going to push it and I'm going to see. The hotel has given me permission, so I'm not worried about that. I am worried about like this three-year-old, almost three-and-a-half-year-old. Is she going to still fit in that space? And I think this trip will tell us. And then we've already been booking two rooms because some hotels, like let's say in Europe or whatever, like they don't mm-hmm. allow more than two people in a room, right? The fact that she was like an infant or a toddler, they're like, yeah, that's fine. She doesn't count as like as a big person. So then it's like my older two, we always get like a queen room. That's just the style. We do a queen and I try to do a family plan, right, if they have it. And then I have it connecting to a room with like two twin or two full. So one big, one bed for my daughter, one bed for my son. And then it's connecting, like not adjacent, but literally connecting because they're still minors. Yeah. And I, you know.
Yeah.
Will you explain the family plan rate for anyone who does not know what that is?
Yeah. Yeah. So the family plan rate, it's that rate where not every property has it. I know on the Hyatt website, there is like a list, but I don't know how updated that is. I honestly don't follow that. I just reach out to a respective property and ask, do you have this rate? What is the rate? The rate is you book one room on points and they will allow you to book a second connecting room for half off the nightly cash rate. You have to keep in mind that like a lot of times, like let's say for example, I reached out to a hotel in like Europe or Asia or what, you have to remember there is a little bit of a language barrier. I learned this lesson the hard way when I booked two rooms at Hyatt Regency Manchester in the UK. And in my mind here in the US, we're very clear as to what the family plan rate is. But when you go to another country, they had a little bit of a different definition. So what ended up happening, sometimes they call it family room. They ended up actually giving me three rooms.
Oh.
So you're like, hey, great, I have three rooms. But you have to remember, nothing is free in life. Nothing is free in life. So we get there and I'm like, we have three rooms, but I paid for two. So we're really tired. We're in jet lag. And our final destination was like London. But again, we're a family of five. So we went from like Houston on that
Fifth Freedom flight. Yeah.
And we're in Dallas. So that was like two sets of positioning. I'm like, wait, y'all are going to charge me for this third room. But that's not what I paid for. I paid for cash for the first room. And this was like, what, a year? I want to say spring break 2023. And I was like, it's supposed to be me, my husband. It's a king room, little ones in the playpen, and it's connecting to a room with twin. So why did you give us a third room with a king bed? They were like, oh, that's considered the family plan, right? They called it like a family room that consists of two rooms.
Oh.
Big mess up. So I was like, okay, you know what? Let's just enjoy our two nights here. And then when I get home, I will call Hyatt customer service and deal with it. I noted the names. Long story short, they refunded me for that third room.
Oh, and good.
Because the rooms are smaller, we just kind of stored like the little one's stroller and play, you know, stuff like that.
So you got to keep it, but they did refund you.
We got to keep it. And I made it clear that if you're allowing me to keep it, that's great. But I'm only using it because like don't charge me is what I was trying to say. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not expecting this to be free, but like, I'm just letting you know that I'd rather just return it because I don't want to be charged. But hey, if you're going to allow me, I'm going to use it in the meantime, but I expect to, you know, like just being very upfront about it. But it was hard. Everyone's tired. I'm trying to check in. I'm trying to tell the guy, like, there's a little bit, you know, we had to do this in email. I had to call Hyatt. And I think the biggest thing is just remembering to be nice. I think
yes.
Whether it's like getting that Southwest compensation, whether it's Hyatt, I think in the heat of the moment, just don't do anything. You're tired, mm-hmm. you're exhausted, you're frustrated. Just note the names and then you can just call Hyatt customers and always have that email chain. That also really helps. They forget to be nice. And I'm like, I promise you being nice will get you a lot more what you want. But
absolutely. Unless you're calling reconsideration for a Chase card and you end up talking to the super mean man that I talked to who was not at all swayed by my charming, lovely personality. He hated me. Yeah. It was a terrible experience. I was so traumatized. I didn't even call back.
Yeah.
I didn't. I couldn't. He was so mean.
One thing I do want to add on the family plan rate, just so there's no confusion. I know sometimes it is for kids 12 and under. So some places are like 18 and under. I haven't faced that. I think the challenge, and sorry to backtrack on that, but the challenge I face is that as soon as they hear that I have a 14-year-old, they're like, oh, you're not eligible. I'm like, but wait, I have an 11-year-old and I have a 3-year-old. So I'm still eligible. So I think it's also kind of knowing your stuff a little bit and mm-hmm. not backing down. But I just wanted to add that in there as far as the ages.
That's like very important.
I mean, if you have teenagers, I don't want someone to hear it and be like, oh, yeah, no. The ages are generally speaking 12 and under, but just email the respective property and ask. So,
yeah. Okay. So if you've got a bunch of teens over 14, you're paying adult extra room prices.
Because I've gotten that before. And then I just haven't been in the mindset to like argue with someone on customer service. So I'll just hang up, take a deep breath, and I'll like try again. And then mm-hmm. if they just say no, they don't have it, or if I email them and they're like no, then I'll just let it go, you know?
Yeah.
But it might take a try or two to kind of explain to them like, hey, this is what I mean. I'm not trying to do cash only. I'm not trying to do points only. I'm trying to do a mix. Do you have this option? Can I book it this way? And you can't book it online for anyone wondering. You have to make that call. Just make sure you have the points in your account, obviously, for the first room.
that reminds me of something else that I saw on your page that I learned from you, did not know it was possible before. And that was the Hyatt points plus cash. Okay, before you hear the rest of today's episode,
if you're like us and you love exploring new destinations without breaking the bank, you're going to want to join.
We've launched this exclusive Facebook group dedicated to sharing tips, tricks, and insider secrets on maximizing your travel experience using points and miles.
So whether you're a seasoned pro or just dipping your toes into the world of traveling on credit card rewards, this is the perfect community for you.
Plus, you'll have a chance to connect with our amazing listeners, ask each other questions, and learn from each other's experiences.
So if you're ready to take your travel game to the next level, join us in the Traveling on Points, Wonderland on Points podcast Facebook group.
You can find the link for the group in our show notes or just search it on Facebook. We cannot wait to see you there sharing your travel stories and picking up some new tricks along the way. Okay, let's get back to the episode. And I did not know that you could book the points plus cash if you don't have enough points and then potentially come back later and switch it to an all point stay.
I am doing that with a couple international trips because the reality is I don't have 100,000 points for every trip. For example, right? We like to go for 4 or 5 nights and then times two rooms sometimes, right? again, I did say it's a little bit of a risk. When I booked it, I only had enough for like, I think 2 out of 3 nights, if I remember correctly from what I shared. One night was on points and then 2 out of 3 nights was like cash in points. So I was like, okay, let me just take what I get. It's a smaller hotel. It's a newer property. There's 5 of us. And I think it was like $350 originally out of pocket, or $375 if I'm not wrong. And so as, you know, we're earning more of these Hyatt points, I was able to call in and say, hey, I booked, you know, 2 nights on cash in points. Can you apply the difference and then cover all of them in points? And so that was a risk I took. So in this case, it worked 2/3. The first night, totally on points. I think it's like the second night, they were like, this night isn't available anymore. You need to leave it as points in cash. But we can switch the third night to all points. I was like, okay, fine. Makes no difference to me. Now I think it's like, what, $50 less or $100 less out of pocket, maybe $275, $250. I can't remember. But like, because our thing always as a family is not to make the most out of our points. And I know that's hot topic. For me, I always want to spend less out of pocket, right? That is, mm-hmm. especially if I have 4 or 5 trips a year, like, you know, it's yes. going to add up. So I was like, I have the points. I'm not going to save them for a more epic redemption, right? But that's just a chance you take. So I think you saw my reel. I was saying, please make sure you're okay with the cash portion to begin with, because yes. I'm at May. I think I called a few weeks ago, so maybe end of April, which is still cutting yeah. it close for June. And they were like, we can apply it for this night. We can't apply it for this night because it's not available. It's like, okay,
right.
I'll take $250 as opposed to $350. Sure. Lately, there's been – people have been sharing a lot of like these amazing business class deals. And I was actually going to kind of get on, and because I get a lot of these questions like, how do you do these trips? And I'm like, I don't do this overnight. This is like 6 to 9 months in the making. I'm simply yeah. just like, how can we just, from whatever money we're already earning or like already spending, excuse me, how can we maximize that? Whether it's homework, home stuff or yard stuff, or the car needs like, you know, whatever it may be, how can I maximize that? Because I know myself next year will thank me for the additional yeah. points that I'm earning, right?
My yeah. fiance was going to the grocery store yesterday and I was like, don't forget to use that Southwest card because we have that 5x points on grocery offer that they gave us right now. And he's like, you are so crazy. And I'm like, no, I'm not. You're going to spend it anyways.
And I
why would you use your debit card?
I know. And I don't know if you saw it yesterday. I shared too a screenshot of a real text that I sent to my husband saying, use the Venture X. He's traveling right now, right? And so I'm like, I know you're going to rack up like the Lyft charges and the whatever, the yeah. ride share that's on his Chase, or my Chase, excuse me, because we're going to get 5x back on that. He's in Chicago yeah. and he decided to not rent a car, right? Because he's like, I just don't want to deal with that and parking. So I was like, okay, works for me. Rack up those Uber charges because it's not on our dollar. And yes, it's scary because it's on our card, but obviously work is going to reimburse him.
What right? a gift to have a job. My sister travels for work. And still has not gotten into points and miles. And she books everything on her cards and they reimburse her. And I'm like, the amount of sign up bonuses that you could be hitting.
I know.
With these reimbursed expenses. Why? Oh, it makes me crazy. Oh,
I know. And it's flustered. Like, it's so tough, like traveling, corporate travel. It is tough, right? It's tough mm-hmm. on us. It's tough on me. It's tough on our family. But I'm like, at least I try to just use earning these points as that silver lining, you know, at least the points we can use towards family travel.
I want to ask you about something I saw on your Instagram. Yeah. You have done bank bonuses to earn extra cash to cover some of the expenses for travel.
Right.
What have been some of your favorite bank bonuses? Is that something that you kind of build into your strategy on a regular basis?
Okay. So I haven't done anything. I know there was like that Capital One or Chase. But the Amex ones were just too easy and to like pass up. I did do them twice. For those who are wondering, basically what you do, last fall was it? Amex had it where you earn, 60,000 points if you open a business checking. So I had my husband.
Whoa.
Yeah. So it was just 60,000 points if you open. And I think you have to make like 3 to 5 transactions. So we just moved money over from our normal Chase account to this Amex business account. And we both have LLC. So it works because my husband has like another side gig as well. And then I have my LLC. And so I had him open it. Basically, I used his credentials, but I'm the one monitoring it. I'm the one moving, actually doing that work.
Yes.
Basically, all you do, it's going to say make 3 transactions, hold the money for 90 days. And after 90 days, Amex gave me like 60,000 points. So that was last fall. I recently did it, I think it was like earlier this year, January or February. And then it was actually at 50,000 points. I was like, hey, I'll take it. And we actually do not hold any Amex cards. And so this was, it has to be like a new account. And so that's why I think it worked for us. I don't know how it works if you already have an Amex card. I can't speak to that because neither one of us have Amex cards. You can tell that we love Chase. But you know, nothing against Amex, is just not part of our strategy yet. Like I say, it's hard to go for everything.
Because it's a probably underrated strategy for getting points in that it doesn't take a hit to your credit. It's not a hard inquiry. And so if you can get points without that inquiry, that's awesome. Exactly.
And I like to also tell people, hey, this is a great way to earn points without opening another card.
I'm wondering if it works with sole proprietorship, the way you can open a business card without an LLC. I'm wondering if the account.
I did it with each of our respective LLCs.
I did the Capital One and the Chase one. And those were not for points. Those were cash. But they are tricky because it, you know, a lot of times you have to set up a direct deposit. You can't just move money. There was a way to trick the Capital One, and you could use Zelle and it counted as a direct deposit. So that one I did. And then with the Chase one, I just set it up to be the receiving account for some buying group stuff I was doing.
Okay.
And so that counted as a direct deposit to be reimbursed from the buying group. So bank bonuses can be great ways to get like extra cash for those line items in your travel budget. But I hadn't heard of the points. And that's
the only one exciting. I've done. Those are the only two just for points. I haven't done any of the cash.
They're tricky. It's a lot of headache.
I try to keep things simple because it is just me doing it. So if it's simply about opening an account and I'll just put a note, I have like follow up on this and follow up on, you know, that. If I feel like I can manage it, I'll do it. But I think I've just, over the years, I think I've just gotten to that point where like, I truly don't get FOMO if I miss out on something because I know
good
that.
Good for you.
Yeah. It's like, it's not going to work for me. I can't do a certain type of trip. I don't want to open this account just for the sake of like, I just feel like it's just going to be more headache for me.
Along those lines, what is your pacing? When you do your credit card strategy and open new cards, a lot of people, I'm a little of a slower pace. I prefer at least 90 days. There are people that do 45, the people that say, oh, just 30 days, and then they kind of are rapid fire. But what is your personal pacing?
So that's interesting. I want to say like, you know, last fall, like for example, when everyone's getting started on Southwest Companion Pass, I was like, yeah, I'm not going to do it right now. And just recently, we earned one Companion Pass. We're trying to get two, but we just earned one. And you're probably wondering, hey, it's like almost June now. That's what I mean by doing it at our pace. I don't have a set pace. I think starting last fall, we were just doing a lot of stuff in our home, and we knew we had other expenses coming up. And I didn't want to get into a specific strategy or apply for a card because I felt like there was other things in our finances that we needed to just make sure that we were on top of. Not that I'm doubting getting the card, putting the spend on it, but when you add another card to the mix, that's another card you need to be on top of, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So we always put it on auto pay. That's not an issue. But before I delved into another card or another strategy, I was like, wait, let's take a step back. We need to take care of that. We knew we would have like medical bills coming up this spring. We knew we wouldn't be traveling. Just other life things that would be happening. That being said, it truly just depends. If it's like Chase Inc., yeah, I'm not going to miss out on that.
I just want our listeners, because there's so much different information online, I want our listeners to get a fair understanding of the different choices people make and how not everybody, especially when I see in groups on Facebook and online, people talking about, why isn't Chase giving me more cards? I've only gotten 15 this year.
Yeah,
and I just want people to understand the reality that most people, including myself, who are big in this points and miles space, I have a podcast, for heaven's sakes, about points and miles, and I haven't gotten a card since January. So you do not have to be rapid fire getting new cards.
Right. Yeah, and I get it. Yeah, those bulk sum bonuses, nothing can beat that. No amount. I get that. But hey, me and my husband, I think we're each at like 324. So to someone, they might be like, hey, you're both at 324. Oh my God, go apply. And I'm like, I want to apply, but I want to make sure that I'm 110% sure that I want this next. And even that can change, right? That can change.
Yeah.
I have my eye on, you know, different things that I want to help cover for our international trips, because mind you, the car rental, the food, someone's always hungry. Someone always wants something from the convenience store. Like that is going to add up. It is not free. Yeah. So I just want to make sure that, and again, sometimes it feels like I just applied, then you're like, oh, 80,000 points on this card. And I'm like, oh no, but I just applied. You know, that happens to all of us, right?
Yeah. So, I got really carried away. Chase is pretty mad at me right now. I think especially when we started the podcast, it was like this, well, now that we have a platform speaking about it, I must have all the cards. And I got way, way too fast. And for a while, they were like, sure, here's all of your cards. And then all of a sudden, they were like, no, no. And now I'm maxed out.
Yeah. I'm just hoping, because I have the Chase preferred, but, and I'll probably refer it to my husband, but I'm waiting till the very last minute till we hear that it's to be, because I want to make sure. And people are gonna be like, you're at 324. Why are you worried? You just don't know. You just don't know.
Yeah.
I want like the odds to be in our favor. We all love our Chase points, but yeah, I want to say if people were looking for a general timeline, it could range anywhere from 3 to 6 months, probably closer to the 6 month side.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very smart. Very wise.
That's my first priority.
Absolutely. And we feel you there. I'm not always the best person to listen to when talking about velocity.
Neither am I. And I tell people I am not the best, but you see these epic trips and you see us going to Japan, you see us. Trust me, it is a monthly struggle. Like the points are great, but like we always have to go back to the drawing board and say, okay, they were spread across 3 different cards. Did we overspend on food? Did we overspend on this? We always, always, always have to go back to the drawing board. The more cards you have, it is hard. So that's why I'm kind of like, okay, I'm going to go for this, but I'm going to kind of wait a little bit.
Will you share with us if you have a favorite family trip redemption where you really felt like this was so magical, almost everything was covered on points. It really, whatever it was about it that you felt was really special, we want to hear about that.
I would have to say it was our Japan trip. So many ink bonuses went into that trip.
Yeah.
Again, and that's the catch, right? That's the catch. For starters, I knew that by applying so many points there, I knew our spring would look a little bit different. But at the same time, because we weren't traveling this spring, and because I knew that if I didn't do that, I would not be able to get 5 of us to Japan, right? Second, we were not planning Japan at all for 2023. I was like, oh, I'll go the AA route. I live in an AA hub, right?
Great
flights from DFW. I'll do that. But again, it's just about being flexible, continuously earning those points, watching out for offers that kind of work for you that made it happen. When I first booked it, my husband was like, wow. Right. And mind you, I booked it in May of 2023 for the flights, May of 2023 for travel in November. I think it was so special because it was our first Asia trip. So I think those ink bonuses had kind of started around November, October of 2022, right? I think because they come and go. I would have to say that's our most special one. Our hotel was completely free. So much hate when I posted that reel because people were like, this is insane. I'm like, yeah, I booked 2 rooms for $0. The only charge I have, and you guys probably saw this, was for a $27 pizza that I ordered from the club lounge. Yeah, I know, $27 for like a pizza this big. Because our three-year-old literally survived on like mochi. That's literally what she ate in Japan. Mochi and like junk. Right. And so this was just in desperation to get her to eat something. I think what also made it amazing is that these international properties that Hyatt has, some of them have amazing Regency club lounges. This one had a really good club lounge. The breakfast was so good. Like my mouth is watering just thinking of that. Like you would think my three-year-old would eat. No. She did not eat. The way they would make the eggs for you in the morning, they were so nice. Their customer service, like they're just, I don't know. The people there are just so nice. So nice.
Which hotel is it?
Hyatt Regency Tokyo Bay. Again,
okay,
not central.
That one's on my list.
Not central to Tokyo at all. Another thing I told
you. Not a good place to stay if you're going to Disney?
It's not a bad place, but like if you want to be in central Tokyo, it's not the most ideal.
Okay.
But at the same time, when I'm trying to book two rooms, that's what I had to do. So
yeah.
You're making up that somewhere else in the sense that like if you want to go for a Disney, excuse me, they have the bus that will it'll take you. So you just have to give a little bit more time. Show up early. They have their, what is it called? The shuttle bus or whatever. And they will drop you off. Even when we were exploring the city, they would take us to like the nearest bus station or whatever. But it was amazing for us because you're a little bit away from like the hustle and bustle of the city. And I think one room was like 15,000 points. And so in this case, they did have the family plan rate if anyone's interested. But because I knew that we would have – we had a 10-day trip. So 10 days includes travel time. So a 9-night stay in Tokyo. 9 nights with a family of 5 is going to add up. So I knew that my general style of, hey, honey, let's book the first room on points and let's do the second room half off the cash rate. Yeah, I wasn't going to do that. I was going to book both rooms on points because we spent a lot in transit, way more than we would have liked. The reality was that we were further away from like the central stuff in Tokyo. I have that in my stories too, where I share like the good and the bad. So I think that's just the reality with traveling with 5, right? Sometimes you win so much in like the hotel department and like this amazing $0 hotel stay, which Japan could have easily cost me $5,000-$6,000 as a family.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. And we're planning Japan for the fall of next year. So I'm like all ears anytime someone's stuck in Japan.
Yeah. So I would have to say that would have to be our most epic one because just the free breakfast. I applied Regency Club certificate. So I'm not globalist. So free breakfast there, a completely free stay. Just the overall experience. We really want to go back. I think we did like a day trip to Kyoto because we're crazy. I do not recommend that, especially with a little one. We literally went in the morning. We came back at night. Again, because we hadn't thought about staying there and that's an additional cost, right? And so
yeah,
not recommended. I would say spend more time there. I'd already booked 9 nights, but we were like, hey, rather than changing things up because it's hard to find hotel rooms again for 5. I was like, my husband's like, well, let's just do a day trip. And, you know, so you take what you can, right?
Absolutely.
The kids loved it. They love the food. They love the mochi. They love the junk, like everything. And it's so clean. It's so clean.
That's what I keep hearing. And like safe feeling.
So safe. There's no trash cans. I did not realize that there was no trash cans. And then I started Googling as to why are there no trash cans in Japan. And then I think it's just because of certain incidents that may have happened. And I think you can look it up and see. And so they have decided to remove all the trash cans. So thank God for my 3-year-old stroller because all the junk that we'd eat throughout the day. Because mind you, we were in central Tokyo, right? So we'd have to take like the shuttle. They would drop us off at the train station and then just kind of go around from there. So all the trash was like accumulated in her stroller.
So I keep seeing on Instagram pages like in Japan, you can't eat and walk. It's considered so rude.
I did see that. They have separate places. They're like, oh, please don't eat here. Kind of move over. And then they have a separate place where you can kind of eat.
Okay.
But
so it's not like you just have to completely starve yourself unless you're inside of a building. Yeah,
just be mindful that maybe I can't just open up an ice cream bar in the middle of whatever. They don't want you. And I think that goes back to just like the cleanliness aspect of it. It was literally so clean. And like even in the parking lot, I was like, this is so clean. Like, how is this so clean? Yeah, you know, like the 3-year-old could literally drop something on the floor and I wouldn't worry because it was just so clean. I think the whole experience, the kids just loved it. It was just so different for us. It was so different. Yeah. And just the way the culture is so respectful, so graceful. I mean, we just loved it.
I love that. I love that. We're going with some friends to Tokyo, and I think they're all going to do business class. But because I have to come up with double the points for me and my daughter, and everyone else only has to earn for one person, I'm like, ooh, girlfriend, me and you are probably going to be in economy, and it's probably going to be fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because it's so long. Yeah. I mean, my husband and I joke, and I'm like, we're at that age where I'm just like, oh, my knee hurts and I want to stretch my
leg. My knees
hurt. And then, you know, I got the little one on me. I mean, she has a seat, but she's not going to stay still the whole time, right? She's getting better because she's used to it. I'm like, man, business class sounds so nice. And props to those people who can make it work with families. We don't do any manufacturer spend. Everything is organic. I just don't feel like I can manage more than what I'm managing now.
Yeah.
So I know that we want to do business class, but I don't want to waste points on my 3-year-old in business.
No, you want to take more trips rather than like one trip.
I just don't want to wait 6 months or 9 months or a year to accumulate just for the one epic redemption. No shade to people who do that. I'm just saying she's three. She's not going to enjoy the luxuries of business class. My older two, who I feel are so bougie, every time I book a trip, they're like, do we have our own room? And I'm like, yeah, you do, because Europe doesn't allow us in one. Okay. Not because and they're just like, they get in the room, they got the robes on, they got the slippers on, and me and him are like,
so cute.
Do you want to deal with the little one or should I? Okay, you do tonight, I'll do tomorrow. And they're over there like, oh, we're just relaxing. They, you know, and they're older. I want them to have that experience, but at the same time, it's so hard teaching them gratitude when you're also giving them this lifestyle.
I know. It's something I'm trying to be very cautious of now that we're – I mean, I feel like we went from zero traveling to so much and so many exciting things in a very short space of time. Sure. And I'm like, okay, let's not let this make you entitled, ma'am.
That's the thing. That's the thing. It's like, oh, you have 18 summers with your kids, right? And I'm trying to create all these like amazing experiences. Our oldest is 14. She'll be 15 in the fall. But at the same time, we're so – we're so big on trying, emphasis on the word trying, to teach them gratitude, because we didn't have this growing up. I know every generation they get bigger, better, faster, and that's just the circle of life, right? Yeah. But it's so hard teaching them gratitude because we have earned to be where we are and we want to travel. We want to travel with them. We love our little kidless breaks every chance we get, maybe once in a year, maybe once every two, whatever, you know. But when they're experiencing these luxuries that mom is literally doing for pennies on the dollar, it's so hard to teach them to be grateful because they expect every trip to be like that. Hopefully they'll appreciate it when they're older, you know?
Yes.
So.
Yeah. Well, tell people before we go, tell people where they can follow along, follow your family's journey, learn from you, and then also maybe share another creator on the internet. I know we've mentioned Katie already. Who's somebody else that you enjoy following online?
Yeah. So you can find me at Hassan's on Holiday. I'm pretty active there. My links are there to Hassan's. That's like 2S, Hassan's on Holiday. You can also email me. I regularly check that too, because I know sometimes things get lost in the world of DM messages. Another creator I really like, and it's interesting because we haven't met up yet, is Abby from Wayfair. I don't know if you guys have chatted with her. She is also in DFW, and we keep saying we want to do a meetup, and we have yet to make that happen. She is also a family of five. Hers are a little bit younger. And they also take some really amazing trips. And I love their travel style too, just keeping it real about just how they travel, the cost, and just your priorities, right? And how to make this happen. And so I think we each
– yeah, her account's amazing.
Yeah, and we each have our own way of doing that. But I just really love her account. Yeah.
Yes. Are you going to be at Travel More with us in November?
I will be speaking there on family travel. I will be there. It is my hometown. So I will just be driving down the street, like about 30, 40 minutes to be there. But yes, love Ashley. Love the conference. I was there last year. I didn't speak. And I'll be there again this year. So hopefully we'll see you guys.
Yay. We're so excited to see you. And maybe she'll be there as well. Maybe you can finally meet up.
She said she was going to be there. I know. It's so funny. Like, we're in the same town. But again, life is so busy. And we're just in that end of year.
It's hard.
It's
hard. I think I saw Mary Ellen like more recently than I've seen like my friend who lives here. So, and it will be like that for the next 6 months. Yeah.
And I tell people, I'm like, don't let the traveling fool you. I think we are homebodies. I think the pandemic and just having a little one and just obviously getting older, and we all have the life things with kids and this and that. I was like, we're such homebodies. I don't want to leave the house if I don't want to. Because everyone's
like, I am like that too. Like, I recharge here.
You must be out all the time. I'm like, no, that's just, you just see these amazing travels. They're not in real time. I don't post in real time. Just remember, content is recycled. You know, Instagram is a highlight reel. That's not like daily reality. Most of the time you will find me at home. I just put on a shirt today so I can get out of PJ, you know, like, so, but yeah.
Absolutely. No. I love that. Thank you so much for being here with us and sharing. Yeah, and course. I'm so excited. I will link all of your stuff up in the show notes so people can super easily find you. And I know that if they're not following you already, they're going to love you and love your content.
Thank you for the opportunity, Mary Ellen. I look forward to meeting you this fall. If you're ever in Dallas, I don't know. I mean, it's hot this summer, so don't come. But like, you know, if you ever find yourself here, either of you, please hit me up. Would love to hang out. I love just connecting with people in real life. So
me too.
But yeah,
it's really special.
What an honor. Really privileged to be here.
We're so glad.
If you enjoyed this show today, please consider writing us a review or clicking 5 stars wherever you listen to your podcasts. And please subscribe and follow along so that you never miss an episode.
You can follow the podcast on Instagram or YouTube at Wonderland on Points Podcast. You can find me on Instagram at Family Travel for the Win with the number 4.
And you can find me on Instagram at Points to Wonderland.
If you're thinking about getting a new Travel Rewards credit card, consider using the links in our show notes. Using our links helps to support us and keep our podcast going so we can provide you with all the latest tips and tricks when it comes to traveling on points.
And if you aren't sure which card is right for you, shoot us an email at wonderlandonpoints@gmail.com, and we would be happy to walk you through a free card consultation. That's also a great place to send us all of your comments and questions. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you here next time.